Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 2nd, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. Once again, it is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray our time together will be a time of reflection and renewal. A fresh hope as we reflect on God's good word. So let's begin together the way we begin, by breathing and giving thanks to God. So let's do just that. Let's breathe. Just take a deep breath in and hold on to it. Savor it. For this is the breath of life. A gift from our Creator, Almighty God. And let it go and take in another one. Another precious gift. And as you breathe, call to mind the best things of life. The things that light you up inside, the people and the places, the situations and opportunities, the promises of God. And as you allow those things to fill your thoughts, perhaps extend your arms out as wide as you can, turn your face toward the heavens. Thank God for every good and perfect gift. And in this spirit and in this posture of thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. We'll begin in worship by participating in the call to worship together. You can find the call to worship printed in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast. Just over to the left margin of where you found today's podcast, right below the line, it says Sermon Notes, and in that box you can click it and the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. As we gather in worship today, let us remember the words of Jesus who proclaimed, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." We come with open hearts, ready to receive the good news of salvation and the call to serve. Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. We gather to embrace his mission and to be instruments of his love and grace in the world. Let us worship the Lord who challenges us to live out his message of hope and healing. With joy and gratitude, we come to worship our Savior who fulfills his promises among us. Our gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel in the fourth chapter, verses 21 through 30. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you. We give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of your word, alive, living among us, a word that can inspire, a word that can challenge and heal. And so as we gather here to reflect on this, your good and living word, we pray that you'd join us, and that you would be our helper, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you are saying to each and every one of us and to your church. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, this week we pick up where we left off last week. Jesus in his hometown synagogue at Nazareth. Jesus, who came into town preceded by his reputation, this new public ministry of brilliant teaching and preaching, of healing, of new hope. Could it be? Is this the Messiah? And so he comes to synagogue and he reads from Isaiah. He reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Rolls up the scroll. The air is just heavy with expectation and hope. "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," he said. And as that settles in, people began to speak. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. And as he spoke, they realized, we know him. This is Joseph's son. He's a hometown guy. And as he saw the wheels turning, as he imagined what was going on in their minds as they recognize who he is, he said to them, Jesus said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we heard you, that you did in Capernaum.'" He knows the expectations, and he's not there to meet them. Text doesn't make it abundantly clear why. As we continue to read the Gospels, we can come up with some answers. But he realizes that his reputation has preceded him, that they expect him to do in Nazareth what he did in Capernaum, the healing, do some of the things that he just read about, this fulfillment of Scripture that he just said he is. But then he challenges them with these references to their Scriptures. "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown, but the truth is there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah." What's he talking about there? This time when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow in Zarephath of Sidon. Let's figure out. Let's go to the scripture that he's referencing. Now, probably anyone in that synagogue would have known exactly what this story is. But let's refresh our memories. This comes from the book of 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. "Then the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you.' So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, 'Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?' As she was going to get it, he called to her, 'Bring me a bite of bread too.' But she said, 'I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die.' But Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first.'" And as the story goes on, it's just as the prophet instructed and as God promised. She makes the bread. The prophet is fed. The widow and her son are fed. And in that act of trust and faith, they are always provided for. There's always enough flour. There's always enough oil. Jesus makes another reference to their scriptures. He said also, "There were also many with skin diseases in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." It's a similar story. This Naaman, he's a commander in a foreign army, beloved by his king. The king makes arrangements so that Naaman can meet Elisha and have his skin disease healed. So some things take place. Naaman makes the journey. He stands outside of Elisha's house, expresses what it is he wants Elisha to do for him. Now, Elisha doesn't even come out to meet him. He just sends word. Tell him to go to the Jordan and wash, and he'll be healed. Well, this doesn't sit well with Naaman. He's thinking, I came all this way. He could at least come out and lay hands on me, lay hands over me, and then I would miraculously be healed. Go to the river. Don't we have better rivers at home? Well, his advisors say, listen, he's asked you to do a very simple thing. Just go to the river, like he said. He goes to the river, to the Jordan River, bathes in the water, and he's healed. Why does this story make everybody so mad, or the references to these stories? I don't fully know, but when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, led him to the brow of the hill. They want to push him off the hill because he didn't meet their expectations. They came with the expectation of hearing eloquent speech and brilliant teaching. That they received. All spoke well of him, were amazed at his gracious words. And then they realized he was a hometowner. They'd heard the stories. His reputation preceded him, and he essentially says, a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. Prophet really has no power among his own people. Why exactly that is, I don't know. Maybe it's the old adage that familiarity breeds contempt. Who do you think you are? You're just a Nazarene like the rest of us. You're not special. And now you say you won't even perform these miracles among us, and you reference these stories that are somewhat humiliating for us, where our God, the God of our covenant promise, doesn't even heal the people of the promise. All these widows in town, and God acts elsewhere. All the lepers in town, and God acts elsewhere. What are you trying to tell us? And if that's all you have for us, get out of town. And maybe we'll just give you an express trip off the cliff. Miraculously, he escapes all that. What do we do with this, friends? On Epiphany, who is Jesus and why has he come? Did he come just to agitate these people? Just make them mad? No. I think he came to help them think deeply about who he is, who God is, to focus on the breadth of God's mercies beyond their town and beyond their synagogue, so that when others prosper, when others receive the healing of God, they can find hope in it too. Isn't that true for us? Isn't that a challenge for us? When sometimes other people receive the miracles we've been praying for. And that can be a dire moment, an existential crisis. How is it just? And Jesus always points us beyond the moment, beyond the individual healing. He lives the same frustration and anguish that we experience. Couldn't he just say that? Look, God, I've lived a spotless and blameless life. I'm the perfect lamb. The moment when he's in the garden and praying to God, let this hour pass, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. He doesn't run. He proceeds in faith. So perhaps that's the challenge for us today, is to take a broad and long view as to what God has done, what God is doing, and what God promises to do in our lives and in the lives of every single human being in God's created order. That there is healing, there is provision, there are stories, endless stories of God making a way out of no way. It's one of the reasons we hold these stories sacred as foundation, as living truth and proof and hope that God moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes that's frustrating. And so we pause and we breathe and we pray. We pray for patience. We pray for understanding. We offer the prayer that we will in a little bit, where we say, "Thy will be done. Not mine. Thy will be done." And when we can humble ourselves and accept the grace of God, the overwhelming, never-ending, boundless love of God, that even in the midst of our personal challenges, we can find tremendous good news. And we can say, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. God of widows and orphans, God of prophets and commanders, God of the residents of big cities and small towns, to you, O God, we call and we pray. And we confess, just like the people of Nazareth on that day, sometimes we get frustrated and we're confused and we're angry. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We're silent when we ought to speak, passive when we ought to be in action. We have all sinned and fallen short of your grace, but in this moment, O God, we come to you and we confess all of it. We're humbled and we know we need your help. And through your word, we find a promise that when we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, you forgive us, you love us, and you pick us up and point us back in the right direction and continue to lead us home. And so we thank you. We thank you for the beauty and the hope of that promise. And so we come to you and we pray over this country of ours. We pray over the countries of the world, the people of the world, that you would move, that you would provide oil and flour and healing, the gift of enough, and faith and grace for all. And you know us. God, you know us. You know our prayer list, the joys and the concerns of our hearts, the things that we're excited about, the opportunities that are coming, the people in our lives that we pray over. These are our prayer lists. And we take a moment, God, to unfold these lists and to hand them to you. And then to sit quietly in your presence as you read through these lists. And we pray that in this silent space, we'd have a true sense of your presence with us. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We call to you and we pray. And we offer this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways on this day, I pray that we will all do so, listening for the voice of the prophet, listening for the voice of God, the God who heals, and the God who provides, and the God who teaches, and the God who challenges. Our God. God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.